You're listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
Good morning, KYUK listeners. Thanks for tuning in today to KYUK's Wellness Wednesday. My name is Jen Peeks, and I'll be one of your hosts today, along with Paula Jones and Blaine LaChance. We're here to represent the behavioral health team from the Bethel Family Clinic. We're super excited to share a little bit about ourselves and the services we offer to the YK Delta. So I'll let Blaine and Paula introduce themselves first. Paula, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Paula Jones. I'm an LSCSW, and I have been in Alaska since 2018. I am originally from Europe. I have a strange accent, as you can notice. Before I moved to Bethel, I was living in the state of Utah, where I worked as a clinical social worker. I worked with youth in the schools, within a community, also with youth held in a local juvenile detention center. I worked at a local hospital, and just before I moved to Bethel, I was part of the behavioral health team at the local community mental health center, where I worked with a wide variety of clients of different ages with mental health and addiction difficulties. A little bit of me, I love to travel, to see new places, meet new people, spend time outdoors. Hiking is my happy place. In the winter time, I love to snowshoe, and you probably see me out in the tundra cross-country skiing too. The reason I work in this field is because I have a passion of finding ways to strengthen the quality and functioning of life of individuals and families. And this idea of tapping into their own resources, seeing the good that already exists and build from that. So that's a little bit of me for now.
All right. Thanks, Paula. Blaine, you're our newest team member. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I come from Vermont, so I couldn't have traveled much further to get here, I usually say. My background is in clinical mental health. So when I came here in December of last year, I was really excited to try and lend my experience with severe and persistent mental illness to the team here, as well as some of the other kind of trainings that went along with that. And kind of similar to Paula, my passion is to really kind of take the mystery out of mental health, because it's so complex that it can be really overwhelming. And so part of the work that I enjoy is to simplify it down and find ways to make necessary changes as easily as possible. And so that's kind of what brought me into the field. I've been doing this work for about 12 years. I really enjoy it. And I'm happy to be part of the team here at Bethel Family Clinic, because I know that there's a lot of effort going into making improvements and kind of bringing us into the future to offer the best supports that we can to the community. The reason that I got into the field is kind of rooted in this interest. I just really enjoy helping people. And I'm sure Jen and Paula can attest to the same thing. I tend to be that friend that most people go to talk to about things. So in some ways, it was natural. So a little bit about me. I really enjoy my dog, time with my dog, and well, any dogs. And I really enjoy music and arts as well. And so I thought what I would do is share a little treat. This is a little recording that I made of something that I played. So I like to share this type of stuff with my coworkers and anyone who's willing to listen. This is just a little recording of me. That's a little taste of what I like to do, just recording stuff and just otherwise being creative and sharing with folks. So connectivity is a big part of my personal interest as well. That's a little bit about me.
Thanks, Blaine. And thanks for sharing that recording. He shared that with Paula and I earlier today. I was trying to get him to bring his actual, he's got like a million guitars. So I was trying to get him to bring in those guitars. And he had this great recording that, you know, fit a little bit better in our offices as we do this recording. So thanks for sharing that, Blaine. And welcome to our team.
Thanks.
Like I said earlier, my name is Jen Peeks. I am also a licensed clinical social worker, just like Paula. I've lived out in Bethel since 2004. I first came up and worked for the Lower Kuskokwim School District in their social work department. So I was an itinerant school social worker, traveled to several of the villages along the Cusco and in the YK Delta, worked there for some time, and then I began working at the college at KUC, working with the students there, teaching a little bit, working with staff, doing prevention work with the community and with the students. I took a little hiatus after that and did some time running dogs and worked for Fish and Game for a period of time where I worked with community advisory groups discussing the natural resources that are important, especially to our region, the subsistence resources, and trying to find solutions that met people's needs. As well as sustained the resources out here. And then I got back into social work in the clinical field, began working at the Bethel Family Clinic in 2019. And that's where I've been ever since. Super happy to be here. I think we have a fantastic team between Paula, Blaine, and myself. We have a really fun time working together. We're very open with each other. We enjoy each other's company, and also we rely on each other professionally a lot too to make sure that we're providing really quality services to the community members in our area. I think what got me into social work, I like the diversity of social work. You can do so many things and help communities, help individuals, help families in on so many different levels. And I really liked that those opportunities. But I love being able to support people and see their own growth and seeing those aha moments that they have as they explore who they are and they explore their strengths. And so I think that being in this field, it's such an awesome opportunity to provide resources and supports to people who may be needing that, but then also to be able to see how people blossom as they're able to develop some skills and figure out who they are and where they want to go and who they want to continue to be throughout their life. So that's a little bit about us. We'll probably share throughout this show today a little bit more about ourselves. But I did want to let folks know a little bit about the Bethel Family Clinic. For those of you who don't know, and for maybe those of you who haven't been here in a while, just wanted to share a little bit of its history. The Bethel Family Clinic actually opened its doors back in 1981. They were providing medical services as a community health center. Since then, the family clinic has grown to include both the behavioral health department, which began around 2014, and in 2016, it started the dental clinic, which some of you may have gone to see our dental clinic there. Bethel Family Clinic is a federally qualified health center, or FQHC, which just means that we receive health and human services funding and we have a federal public health service deemed status. But at the family clinic, whether you're going to see medical, whether you're going to see behavioral health or dental, your wellness is our top priority. Bethel Family Clinic clinic does not refuse services to anyone based on people's ability to pay or financial history. If someone is financially struggling and are concerned about coming to get help because you may not, you know, you may be concerned about the cost of it, we do offer a sliding fee scale that can help that financial burden. And we do whatever we can to work with clients to make sure that when you come in, you're able to be seen and given the services that we provide, regardless of what you're able to pay. Currently at the Behavioral Health Department, we are seeing both in-person and telehealth clients. We do adhere to the recommended guidelines to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and to keep our clients, our community, and our staff safe. We have ongoing updates and changes based on what's happening within our community. So as the Delta variant is becoming, you know, wider spread, and as we're hearing more about that, we are definitely staying in tune with what our medical providers and what YKHC's recommendations and the CDC and the state of Alaska are recommending. So our services may change depending on how that is going, but that's all to protect our community the best we can. But given that, we still are trying our best to be able to provide services, even if it is over the phone or through telehealth, if in-person is not available. So we're excited to be here this morning to spend a little bit of time to share more about who we are, what services we provide, and some of the ways we might be able to help you or your family members or your friends meet their wellness goals. So we have a variety of folks that we work with. We work with children, we work with teens, we work with adults, families. We're looking to provide groups once that's COVID safe. We've explored and have done throughout the year some other groups that were virtual. We're just gonna go through here and talk a little bit about some of the services we provide. Blaine, do you want to go ahead and share a little bit about some of the areas that you work on or some of your specialties, some of your special trainings or areas of interest?
Sure, yeah. So my area of expertise, I think I mentioned at the top, is more in line with severe and persistent mental illness. And so that focuses a lot on depression and some of the, you know, the more kind of notable diagnoses that we always hear about, like in the media and, you know, so forth, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. And so my experience comes from kind of big programs with all kinds of other services added on to that, working with psychiatrists and case managers, local hospital systems. And so what I try to do is in an outpatient setting here at Bethel Family Clinic, I try to bring that expertise in and help folks as much as I can with the perspective that brings. And so usually that means trying to manage any difficulty as best that we can, but it also means trying to figure out what's causing some of this stuff. And I think that's something that Bethel Family Clinic has done really well, is to keep in touch with whatever's going on in the field and support us as a team to follow that new information and anything that's gonna help people, any new research that's coming out. We're definitely big on that. And so among some of those things, I myself am trained in what they call dialectic behavioral therapy, which is kind of a buzzword, but it helps in terms of keeping track of your emotions, which I found to be really helpful. And recently I went to a training for nutrition and mental health, which is kind of it's a growing field where we actually were realizing a lot of what we eat has a lot to do with how we're feeling. Not just physically, you know, in our tummies or in our muscles and so forth, but in our minds and the way that we think. And we're learning an awful lot about how it impacts our sleep as well. So connecting all of these dots and seeing people as whole people and making sure that, you know, that we're taking into account anything that's important for folks is kind of my area of interest and, you know, constantly trying to pursue knowledge in that. Most of the services that we offer right now, as Jen had mentioned, COVID-19 restrictions have impacted some of the things that we can do. But we're still open to provide individual and couples counseling for kiddos and for adolescents and adults. We run the gamut in terms of any of the potential, you know, diagnoses or presenting problems that they may come in with. So just so folks know, I'm here Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Jen has the same schedule, and Paula is Tuesday through Friday, and I'll let her specify the times. But that's a little bit about the services that I specifically am providing, and some about our team.
Thanks, Blaine. And I may have you talk a little bit more about that nutrition and mental health training that you did, because I'm really interested in that. And I know I sure. pick your brain all the time on it. So I may pick your brain a little bit on the radio here.
Sounds good.
Paula, do you want to go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about your areas of interest and specialties and your background?
Of course. My focus as a therapist is related to this idea of providing individuals and families the support they need to build healthy relationships, promoting encouragement and support, teach proper behavior, shy away from the punishment and reprimands of children's misbehaviors or youth that are not achieving in school. And also another dimension of my interest as a clinical social worker that I actually find fascinating is to serve those who have histories of trauma, either at the interpersonal, domestic, or systemic level. My heart goes out to those who have experienced physical and emotional neglect, physical, emotional, sexual trauma, even early attachment disruptions, intimate partner violence, or witnessed community violence. Being able to leave the past in the past and bring to the table this idea that the past doesn't have to run the present or dictate our responses. Is important to create function and well-being. And I am trained on CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, also TF-CBT, which stands for trauma-focused cognitive behavior therapy, and EMDR. I've seen amazing results of these therapies in changing lives in the matter of the present, where we can leave the past in the past, like I said earlier, and enjoy what's the goodness that our day-to-day brings instead of being hijacked by our brain and going back to a past that is not functioning anymore. As Blaine was referring, my schedule is from Tuesday. I'm here in the office from Tuesday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Thanks, Paula. And just to share a little bit about my areas of interest and my background, it's a little bit similar to Paula. I am trained in cognitive behavioral therapy and also trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. And I think this doesn't apply just to me, but I think all of us have a strengths-based approach when we work with clients. We really try to meet the client where they're at. Every client, every person has their own unique story, their own unique background. You know, several people may be coping with depression, but what goes into that depression is going to look very different from one person to another. So I really enjoy getting to know who the person is when they come to see me, and really find out what their strengths are, what their motivations are, what their relationships are, what their struggles are. like I said earlier, when I first came to Bethel in 2004, I worked in the school district, and working in the schools, working with kids and families was very different than being in a clinical setting. We had a lot more opportunities to go and play basketball while I'm working with kids, or go for a walk on the tundra, or go pick berries, or go ice fishing. And so I'm still trying to learn how to sit in an office and visit with somebody and talk about these really difficult life situations that come up for people. But I think even within an office setting, you can find ways to connect. You can find areas to explore and use our minds, our brains, our bodies to work towards healing, work towards recovering, or whatever goals someone might have. So I love that each person is so unique and brings such a different story when they come from anybody else that I've ever seen. I really like working with kids. I love working with teenagers and young adults. I also work with adults and older adults, elders. So it's between the three of us, we cover a pretty wide range. You know, we may not meet everybody's needs or be able to provide every service. And when that's the situation that might come up, if somebody comes and it's requesting a service that we may not be able to provide, we work with individuals to make sure that they get connected with another resource that may be able to provide those services, whether it's YKHC or whether it's through the school social work department, or whether it's maybe another telehealth in the state of Alaska, or referral to another agency in the state of Alaska. Anybody that comes through our doors, regardless if we're going to be able to meet the needs or not, which we hope we're able to, but realize, you know, there's going to be some situations where we may not be able to. We always want to ensure that we connect clients with an appropriate resource for them. Switching gears just a little bit and kind of stepping away from the family clinic specifically, wondering, you know, if we can chat a little bit about some of the stigma and barriers that we've observed to getting mental health care in the region, but just in general, too. There's a lot of stigma that comes up. Blaine or Paula, either one of you want to jump in here and start us off with that?
Yeah, I can. I'll give it a go. So I think maybe I'll start with what I think is similar between where I have been and out here in the YK Delta. I think mental health or mental illness, depending on, you know, how one thinks about it, has always had this kind of stigma associated with it. And for some strange reason, some of it may be rooted in science, but, you know, some of it may be rooted elsewhere. That somehow the mind is different than, say, you know, the shoulder or the kneecap. But the more that we research and the more that we learn about this, the more that we recognize that, you know, mental health and the mind are just as important to us as the heart, the liver, or any other really important part of ourselves. And so somehow I think that got lost historically, and we don't treat it with the same level of importance or maybe reverence. And thankfully, I think that's slowly starting to change. But it can get challenging when, you know, you're reluctant to pull up to the local counseling center because you know that Bob, Joe, and Susie are going to see your car and wonder what's up. You know, and so I think it's kind of a natural thing for folks in the community to feel a little bit guarded about that, because to show up there is almost kind of signifying like, hey, I've got something going on, and that's not always comfortable. I think that we've come a long way, like I said, as kind of challenging that and the average person feeling like mental health is really, really important. I don't know that we'll necessarily talk much about this today, but I think it's worth noting, you know, our national representative at the Olympics pulled out of a really, really important competition because of her mental health. And that had a lot of kind of tentacles to it. But the bottom line is that, you know, she recognized in herself that mental health is really, really important. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be dire, but we all need to do, I think, a better job of recognizing some of the signs in ourselves and our loved ones and our community members that aren't feeling well, or maybe are struggling with something or feel off. I think that we need to make that not so much a mystery and open up a conversation about it. And that's partly what we're doing here as a team, is trying to open up that conversation for folks and not have it be so much of a barrier. And that's kind of the idea of stigma, at least, you know, from my vantage point. The differences, I think, between where I've been and the YK Delta is out here, there's such a strong sense of community. And I think that bodes really well for being able to address this at the community level and really have everybody involved. And it's a tight-knit community. So it's like, you know, one thing, you say one thing to one person, and it doesn't take long for it to find its way to, you know, to the next person. So, and that works, I think, in our favor in some ways. And that's not been the case where I've been before. Everybody kind of keeps to themselves and isn't as willing to engage in really important conversations. So I think that's the biggest difference, at least from my standpoint of the YK Delta and the richness in this community.
Yeah, I agree with Blaine that there's some social and cultural factors that lead people to feel ashamed to seek help. And there's concerns about the stigma of my mind is not working well. There's nothing wrong with me. But I also noticed that, and this is in general, not just particular from this area, but in general, there's a great difficulty recognizing that a problem is developing and that this problem is affecting my life, is affecting my functioning, is affecting my relationship. I myself, when I experienced depression, one of my friends came to me and said, Paula, you are experiencing a deep, deep depression. And I was bawling and crying and talking to her. And I just didn't understand. And I told her, no, I just need to tell you this. And she says, yes. But what I see is that you need a professional help. You just don't need me as a friend. And it was a wake up call for me because I didn't recognize it. I was in the middle of some difficulties in my personal life, and I really didn't notice that it was affecting everything else, my sleep, my appetite, the way I related to others. And until a trusted friend pointed out to me, I was not able to recognize it. So sometimes also the fact that we don't see what's happening with us, it's a barrier to come for help. And I also noticed that another thing I also experienced at the time is that when we talked with my friend, I was resistant to the idea. And then she said, I'll take you and I'll go with you. And that made totally the difference for me because I wasn't really convinced that I needed help. I just thought it was just a big problem and I needed to vent and talk and process it with someone else. But when she offered to transport me and to come with me and to be that support. So I think that also is a barrier when we finally might recognize that we might need help, especially in this area. I see where transportation is a big problem that can also cause a barrier in accessing help.
Thanks, Paula. And I want to piggyback on something you had been saying. The importance of your friend that you were talking about when you were struggling with depression in your own experience, in your own life, how important that friendship was to help link you to maybe some more professional help. And I think one thing that we don't always appreciate is how important our friends, our family, our coworkers are to us, how much we rely on them, and that they're the first people we go to when we're dealing with a challenge or a life experience that's overwhelming.
Right.
You know, if I experience pain, I'm not going to call up my doctor first thing. I'm probably going to talk to my friend about it and then maybe decide later on, oh, maybe I should make a doctor's appointment. Same as if I'm, you know, feeling really down or really anxious, I'm probably going to text my friends about what's making me feel anxious rather than making an appointment right away. And so those connections are so important. And one of the things I just love about Bethel and the YK Delta is that the connections here are so strong and so deep. You know, multiple generations of connections, grandparents interacting with the grandkids and teaching and being available, and elders and you know, friends, family. So those are kind of the frontline people who will see these challenges that might come up for someone. And then for some people, yeah, seeing an actual counselor or a therapist or somebody who's got some additional skills in the mental health field may be the right resource for that person. But that link is so powerful. When you notice a friend or family member that's having a hard time and you can be there for them, and then maybe say, hey, you know, I have this phone number you can call, or I know about this clinic, you can maybe talk to somebody who, you know, really understands depression and everything that goes into it. I think that's so helpful. And especially out here, it's so valuable.
Yeah, I'm hoping to add to that a little bit. I think we, kind of like Paul was saying, it's hard for us to notice what's going on for ourselves. And so it's really hard to keep track of, like, what's going on with me? Am I normal, right? is something wrong with me? And I think one of the advantages, along with the other ones that Jen pointed out, is seeing a counselor. It helps to kind of get some perspective that, you know, if, let's say I have a heart condition and I go and see a heart doctor. It's not going to be long into that conversation before I start learning that I'm not alone, right? And that actually there's a lot of folks that are experiencing this. And I think that that's powerful in and of itself. But getting into the specifics to, like I said, take the mystery out of it and say, you know, actually what you're experiencing is really normal. And here's how we can kind of chart a course out of that. And I think stepping outside of that kind of constricted what's wrong with me thinking can be helpful as part of seeing a counselor.
Yeah. That word normal always, yeah. Always kind of makes me, I guess, cringe, because we use that so often. Like, I just want to feel normal. I want to be normal. But what is normal? I mean, we're so, as humans, we're so diverse. None of us are the same. So I guess, you know, what is normal? And that's a really good point, Blaine, that, you know, sometimes being able to talk with somebody who, you know, maybe sees lots of people who are struggling with depression or anxiety or complex grief or whatever, the challenge might be, it happens a lot and it affects a lot of people at different lifespans. And I think that is really helpful to know that you're not alone, right? That goes back to the connection thing, not feeling like you're alone. And just moving on a little bit, I think that kind of ties into what's been happening with the pandemic. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it, because I'm sure everyone is just sick and tired of hearing about it. But we're still in this COVID-19 pandemic. And even though some of the restrictions have slightly loosened up for the moment, but, you know, we're seeing some changes happening every day. I think there's been a lot of increase in anxiety and depression and grief. I mean, there's just been so much loss over the last year, whether it's actual physical loss, whether it's a loss of a relationship, whether it's a loss of a job, or just a loss of the normal way of life. And I think that's something that we need to continue to appreciate, even though we think, oh, it's, you know, things aren't as bad as it was, you know, 6 months ago, but things aren't back to what they were 2 years ago. And I think we need to find compassion for ourselves as we continue to navigate these really stressful times and these constantly changing times. We never know what we're going to wake up to and hear on the news, or the, you know, next restriction or the next change that's going to happen. So So I think we have to be find compassion for ourselves and patience, that we're living in a time that's got some additional stress there that we haven't seen before. I don't know if Paula Blaine, if either of you want to add to that.
Sure.
You can go first.
I was just going to add something to tie to this idea of the pandemic and also what is normal. And one of the things that after kind of bringing closure to my story, my personal story, one of the things that this professional helper, this mental health professional helped me with was the first time I met, he said, your depression is a normal reaction to abnormal circumstances in your life. And that just hit me as a rock. And as the pandemic creates abnormal circumstances to our everyday life, we have to come to the realization that it's normal to feel depressed, anxious, to experience grief, to go through all this roller coaster of emotions created by the unknown, the uncertainty. I myself am experiencing that just today, from yesterday, when I heard the news from the CDC that now we are again in some sort of alert. I experienced disillusion. I thought, I'm done with masks. I don't want to do this anymore. But now I have to continue. And I had a big sigh and I thought, okay, if I did it for all this time, I can do more. I can do a few more months. And building into those resources that I already have, that strength that I found through this last month or year, I was able to move on and to start thinking, okay, I guess we're going to move on and we're going to do things a little bit different. It is a little bit different than it was in the beginning. I know what I'm dealing with and I'm just going to follow guidelines and I'm going to continue to live through this roller coaster of abnormalities. Every day is something different, but I can do this. So this new normal that I guess this I'm blabbing a bit, but what I'm meant to say is that there's a new normal for me in my mind, and I'm accepting all these emotions that come with it, and I have this understanding of myself that I was able to do some things in the past, and now I can continue to do them, and I will continue to move forward. So my hope for this time now, as we talk to the community, is that we all will find that we will know that it's just a new normal, that we did it so far, and we can continue to do it. And it's okay to feel all these different emotions. It's okay to accept them and validate them and share them, and because you're not alone. We're all experiencing the same thing. We're all in the same boat, a rocky boat, but we'll hold on together and we'll, this too shall pass.
Yeah, Paula, thank you for that. I was thinking as you were talking that the word resiliency kept popping up in my head, and you know, how resilient folks have been over this past year, but really throughout our lives, you know, pandemic or not, there's a lot of hardships and pain and struggles that people overcome or are able to keep going despite them, or find ways to move around it. And I think that speaks to the resiliency that we all have at some level, at some capacity. I know I see resiliency in every client I work with. You know, they probably wouldn't be seeing me if there wasn't some level of resiliency, that there is some little bit of hope that maybe things can feel better at some point, or maybe there can be a change that will lead to a better outcome for them. So thanks, Paula, for talking about that. So I did want to just touch base on, you know, speaking of the pandemic and speaking of, you know, how do we care for ourselves and how do we encourage each other? You know, I'm curious, and we kind of maybe brushed on this during our introductions, but, you know, Paula Blaine, I want you to get maybe a little personal and share, too, and share a little bit about what is your self-care? I mean, Blaine, you moved up here to Bethel in the middle of the pandemic from Vermont, leaving your family to come up here in December. You know, really hard to meet people, really hard to form a sense of community during a pandemic. So what have you done to sustain and...
It has been definitely a challenge. One other important piece is, unfortunately, I had to leave my dog back home for a number of months because some logistical challenges that restrictions created about getting my dog here. But he was finally here. So number one, my dog's here. That's helpful.
Blaine does not love his dog at all.
Gotta have my buddy. I think, you know, the big change for me, it came with a negative and a positive. And actually the negative turned into a positive, and I'll explain that. So Jen's absolutely right. I left my family behind, all of my friends, you know, basically everything that I've known, kind of making a brave, adventurous decision to come out here and grow myself. What that did, though, was that kind of, it forced me to be away from a lot of things that I think I was taking for granted. Even with pandemic stuff happening back home, I was still taking some stuff for granted. And so I think coming out here, it has taught me an awful lot about gratitude, even in the smallest of senses, and how powerful gratitude is in changing the way that we think, in changing the way that our minds operate. And I'm sure all of us at one point have had that, I call it an intrusive thought. It's like a thought that's negative that sneaks up on you, and before you know it, kind of consumes you. And it's tough to get out of that mode when you slip into it. So I have a little thing that I would encourage any listener who's willing to try. The next time that you get frustrated or upset or just plain down, I want you to list 10 things back to back that you're genuinely grateful for. If that's your mom, if that's an elder, if that's your community, if it's a football team, you know, it doesn't really matter. As long as it's genuinely meaningful to you, list those 10 things in a row out loud, actually talk. I know it sounds kind of funny, but I assure you, at the end of listing those things, you will feel the way that you're thinking change, and you'll even notice your body start to change. And so for me, I think this has been a really powerful personal lesson, is to take things seriously, you know, and be grateful for the things that are good in your life, because as we've learned, they're really easy to take for granted and forget.
Paula, how about you? What's been your self-care throughout the last year? Yeah, I know you've mentioned some of them, but
Like Blaine, I love that. Thank you for reminding me that. I love that gratitude is the core of experiencing joy. And I actually started a gratitude journal when the pandemic was at its peak, and it really decreased the cortisol level in my bloodstream for sure. I noticed that. One thing that I actually made that a point for myself was to connect with others. Being away from family and depending so much on technology, being in a different time zone, that could create some hassles. But connecting with my community, connecting with faith-based organizations, reaching out and working on service projects, even if I was doing blankets or crocheting this or that at home, and then bringing them and donating to the different causes in the community, that was also very helpful. I need to move. So even though there was a period of time where I was in quarantine, I would take breaks and I would get all my snow gear and I would go out. And to me, the tundra is healing. And so I would just go and snowshoe or walk. And it was a way of taking care of my body and of my mind. The connection, the body and the mind really work well for me when I'm outside on the move. So connecting with others, making the point of connecting with the community, reaching out to through text or FaceTime or using technology to keep in touch, and then go outside. It doesn't matter if it's 25 below. I can be 5 or 10 minutes outside. So that was really helpful for me. And I encourage who might be listening to do those things that Blaine suggested, and also go outside, have a different perspective, get some variety in your eyesight, bring something new to your eyes, and be a little bit more active. Even if you just go to the river, it is going to be good for your body, for your mind, for your spirit.
Yeah. Thanks, Paula. I think for myself, you know, I can, I see similarities with both what Blaine was talking about and Paula, what you were sharing. For me, I think throughout the pandemic, I was really able to develop or strengthen, I should say, some of the relationships in my life. You know, there were people who I couldn't see, like my family who does not live here, but there were other friends within the community that I was able to really grow the relationship with and get to know them on a whole different level. And I don't know that I would have gotten that otherwise. You know, usually during the summer, people are busy and traveling and, you know, in and out of Bethel or, you know, out and about. But I felt like we were able to spend more quality time in a way, whether it was like over the phone or whether it was, you know, FaceTime or whether it was doing something outdoors. I spent so much time outside, just like Paula, you were saying, we had a beautiful winter and I felt like we were so blessed to have the snow that we did and have weather that wasn't, you know, too stormy or that didn't warm up to where everything melted. And so I felt so fortunate that we had the opportunity to be outside and I could take my snow machine out and I could go watch the dog races that we were able to have yet this winter, spend time with my dogs. Most people who know me know I'm a dog person too. And so
that's contagious.
That was really important to me too. But I was really able to kind of explore like what really brings me joy. You know, usually you're just so busy, you know, you don't really reflect on what you're grateful for or what you're joyful for. And it really allowed me the opportunity to be like, oh my goodness, I love this, or being out in the snow. Like, I love this. I love, you know, whatever it is. And so I think that, you know, despite the pandemic, and I do hope the pandemic ends at some point. But I think there is some positive aspects from it that we can pull from and be grateful for. So we're kind of running out of time here, Paula and Blaine. So we might kind of have to jump to the end, and I want to make sure that we share our resources, make sure people know how to get in touch with us. And so I'm just going to share a couple numbers here for folks who are listening. If they're wondering some resources and how to make an appointment. First, I do want to share that depression and suicide do occur in people, not just here, but everywhere. And I think it's important to have resources of who you can talk to when you feel like you're in a crisis or feel like you can't talk with anyone else. There are a few crisis lines available. The local crisis line is YKHC has a 24/7 crisis response team, and you can call them at 907-543-6499 if you feel like you're in crisis or if you're concerned about someone else who may be in crisis. There's also a national lifeline that's available 24/7, and that number is 1-800 273-8255. And I give those numbers out to everyone that I know pretty much, because I think you never know when you're going to find yourself in a crisis where you're having thoughts that you might not be safe, or thoughts of suicide, or you might be talking with somebody who is expressing those thoughts and you're not sure how to help them. Those are really good resources. If you're interested in finding out more about the services we provide at the clinic, or in making an appointment, you can give us a call. And that number is 907-543-9860 or 9862. And you can give us a call, and we're happy to talk with you about what services we provide, and see how we might be able to support you in whatever wellness needs you have. In closing, Paula Blaine, do you have anything you want to leave at the end here for listeners?
Yeah, a couple quick things. One is just kind of, you know, highlighting the last bit that Jen shared about accessing a crisis or emergency supports. I'm a trained therapist, and I've worked in emergency services before, and I have been in situations in my life where I called emergency services because, you know, despite even my own training or, you know, quote unquote expertise, I wasn't in the position to be that person to help. And so I think it's really important to know what these resources are in your community, whether it's, you know, at that kind of emergent or crisis end, or the stuff that we've been talking about today, kind of at the other end, is trying to figure things out or prevent certain things through the supports that we offer. So that's definitely the biggest thing. And then just a shout out to KYUK and their staff for being flexible and, granting us the opportunity to share some really important stuff with the community and actually let our voices on the air.
Yes. And I just wanted to add that as therapists, we are here to support you individually, your family, and also the community. And everything is confidential. We are legally bound with confidential law. And sometimes you don't even acknowledge that. Our clients, if we run into them outside in the community, we don't even acknowledge that we know them to protect the client confidentiality. So if there is that concern that someone might know that you're here, or we don't do that. It's a very serious part of our job to keep all matters of our clients confidential, including who comes here, not only the content of therapy, but also who is in therapy. I just wanted to kind of bring that up too, because it's important to overcome the barrier of coming for services.
Thanks, Paula. I think that's a super important point. So I appreciate you bringing that up and letting folks know that. So I guess to wrap things up, thanks to Blaine and Paula. This is both their first time on Wellness Wednesday. I've done a couple before, but so appreciate their willingness to participate in this. And of course, KYUK for allowing us the opportunity to come and share a little bit about ourselves and about some of the services we provide. And thank you to the listening audience for tuning in today and sticking with us for however long you stuck with us. We look forward to seeing you, whether it's, out at community events, or if you decide to check us out and make an appointment or find out a little bit more about what we do. We are planning the clinic. The whole clinic is planning a community event on August 14th. That's a Saturday. There will be a little bit of a health fair type event. That's going to be 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. August 14th at the new medical clinic. Clinic, which is on Main Street and I believe 4th Street. So if you're out and about, I've heard there's going to be hot dogs there. Mm-hmm. So if you want, you know, take family and get some lunch, you know, feel free to stop by and of course give us a call if you have any questions or would like to speak with us further. Again, thanks to everyone. Thanks to KYUK and have a good morning.
Thanks for joining us for Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us anytime at kyuk.org or live here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on KYUK 640 a.m.